Galadriel gifts Gimli with three strands of her hair. It's a touching moment, but the casual reader probably doesn't realise that it draws to an end a character arc for Galadriel thousands of years in the making. Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. I have, in a couple of other videos, touched on the subject of Galadriel's gift to Gimli, when talking of Gimli's character arc, or Galadriel's gifts, but I noted then that there was a lot more going on than just a simple gift, so let's unpack it here. And first, let's set the scene. The Fellowship have been resting in Lothlorien for a few days, and are about to leave for the next leg of their journey. Galadriel summons them to give them all gifts. She's clearly thought about appropriate gifts for most of them and gives them that. I did a video on that if you're interested. But when she comes to Gimli, she instead asks him what he wants. She hasn't got a prepared gift for him. Why? Well, we need to acknowledge that Gimli being there in the first place was unusual, very unusual. Not only was there the ancient enmity between dwarves and elves, but Celeborn, Galadriel's co-ruler, held a particular antipathy to dwarves. As a result of both of those things, the elves' welcome to him had been far from friendly, insulting him and demanding that he, and he alone, needed to be blindfolded for the long walk from the edge to the heart of the forest. Aragorn skillfully defused that diplomatic incident, but when Gimli reached the Lord and Lady of Lothlorien, he was probably expecting more of the same treatment, particularly when Celeborn started snarkily implying that Gandalf's death could be blamed in part on the dwarves awakening the Balrog all that time ago, or perhaps Gimli for wanting to pass through Moria. But Galadriel intervenes on Gimli's side, saying to Celeborn, "Do not repent of your welcome to the dwarf. If our folk had been exiled long and far from Lothlorien, who of the Galadrim, even Celeborn the Wise, would pass nigh and would not wish to look upon their ancient home, though it had become an abode of dragons? Dark is the water of Kelid Zaram, and cold are the springs of Kibil Nala, and fair were the many-pillared halls of Khazad-dûm in elder days, before the fall of mighty kings beneath the stone." She looked upon Gimli, who sat glowering and sad, and she smiled. And the dwarf, hearing the names given in his own ancient tongue, looked up and met her eyes, and it seemed to him that he looked suddenly into the heart of an enemy and saw there love and understanding. Wonder came into his face, and then he smiled in answer. He rose clumsily and bowed in dwarf fashion, saying, "Yet more fair is the living land of Lorien, and the Lady Galadriel is above all the jewels that lie beneath the earth." This is clearly the start of Gimli's admiration for Galadriel. He had expected, and had received, unfair treatment from the elves until then, but then from Galadriel he gets love and understanding. She even goes as far as deliberately using the dwarvish names for things in defending him, rather than the elvish names, to be more inclusive and welcoming. Khazad-dûm rather than Moria, for example. Some people have often tried to diminish what is going on here as simply Gimli developing a crush on Galadriel. But Tolkien was thinking a lot more deeply than that. Think more of the relationship between a queen or noble lady and her favoured knight in High Arthurian legend. He is her champion, and she gives him a token of her favour to carry. It is courtly, chaste, and noble. Anyway, we digress slightly, because when it came for the Fellowship to leave and Galadriel was handing out gifts, she could have chosen something for Gimli. Anything, really. Some of the gifts she gave were personal and touching, like Sam's and Aragorn's, for example, but others were a bit more generic. Cool and wondrous, but not exactly personal. Boromir, Merry and Pippin all got gold or silver belts, for example. I suspect that Galadriel had some foresight here, but instead she asked Gimli what he wanted. "And what gift would a dwarf ask of the elves?" said Galadriel, turning to Gimli. "None, lady," answered Gimli. "It is enough for me to have seen the Lady of the Galadrim and to have heard her gentle words." "Hear, all ye elves," she cried to those about her. "Let none say again that dwarves are grasping and ungracious. Yet surely, Gimli, son of Gloin, you desire something that I could give. Name it, I bid you. You shall not be the only guest without a gift." There is nothing, Lady Galadriel, said Gimli, bowing low and stammering. Nothing. Unless it might be, unless it is permitted to ask, nay, to name a single strand of your hair, which surpasses the gold of the earth as the stars surpass the gems of the mine. I do not ask for such a gift, but you commanded me to name my desire. We shouldn't pass this section without noting how Galadriel deliberately raised her voice partway through this to chide the elves around her for their negative views about dwarves, given Gimli's gracious response to her first question. She didn't want this interaction to just be about her and Gimli. This was about improving relations between elves and dwarves more broadly. Still, Gimli says he asks nothing of her. But when she presses him, not for what he would ask, but what he desired, he told her the truth. He desired a single strand of her hair, because it surpassed the gold of the earth as the stars surpass the gems of the mine. High praise indeed from a dwarf. But he wasn't wrong, because this is where we start diving into the deeper lore. Galadriel's hair was a plot point for Tolkien thousands of years earlier in his legendarium. We read this in Unfinished Tales about her youth in the Undying Lands. Even among the Eldar, she was accounted beautiful, and her hair was held a marvel unmatched. It was golden, like the hair of her father and of her foremother Indis, but richer and more radiant, for its gold was touched by some memory of the star-like silver of her mother. And the Eldar said that the light of the two trees, Lorelin and Telperion, had been snared in her tresses. Many thought that this saying first gave to Feanor the thought of imprisoning and blending the light of the trees that later took ship in his hands as the Silmarils. For Feanor beheld the hair of Galadriel with wonder and delight. He begged three times for a tress, but Galadriel would not give him even one hair. These two kinsfolk, the greatest of the Eldar of Valinor, were unfriends forever. For elves to say that it was as if the light of the two trees of Valinor had been trapped in her hair was as big a compliment as they could give. Her hair was not just beautiful, but astonishing, entrancing, ethereal. Feanor, the greatest of the elves, wanted it. It seemingly inspired him to create the Silmarils, the jewels whose splendour led to the tragedy and devastation of the First Age. But we're told that despite his begging Galadriel, she wouldn't give him even one hair from her head. And they were unfriends, in Tolkien's words. We'll come back to that in a moment. There is no doubt that this interaction will have been in Galadriel's mind when Gimli expressed his desire for one of her hairs. So she asks him what he would do with it. We read on. Tell me, what would you do with such a gift? Treasure it, lady, he answered, in memory of your words to me at our first meeting. And if ever I return to the smithies of my home, it shall be set in imperishable crystal to be an heirloom of my house and a pledge of goodwill between the mountain and the wood until the end of days. Then the lady unbraided one of her long tresses and cut off three golden hairs and laid them in Gimli's hand. She heard what Gimli would do with that hair, and she gave him three, not just the one he wanted. Which brings us back to those Feanor comparisons. Feanor repeatedly begged for her hair. Gimli did not even ask. He just, when pushed, stated his desire. Feanor wanted a whole tress. Gimli wanted just one single strand. Feanor took inspiration from it to create three jewels that would tear a continent apart. Gimli wanted to set her hair in a gem as a pledge of goodwill between dwarves and elves. Feanor and Galadriel became unfriends for life. Gimli and Galadriel formed a strong bond that lasted to the end of Gimli's life, with him travelling to the Undying Lands to see her once more. Galadriel chose to give Gimli three of her hairs, perhaps deliberately echoing the three Silmarils, knowing that Gimli intended to set them inside their own gemstones. The previous day, Galadriel had passed her own test when Frodo offered her the ring and she refused. She then set her direction. She would diminish and head into the west, go back to the Undying Lands where that interaction with Feanor had happened. So her mind was probably already going there. This gift-giving was her first main action after that. It is her chance to bequeath things to those people who would remain in Middle-earth, a lasting bond with the departing elves. Yes, things that would help the Fellowship in their mission, but also things that would last beyond that. She gave Sam a nut from a mallon tree so the hobbits and the Shire would have that remembrance, and gave Aragorn a wedding gift for his marriage to Arwen, Galadriel's granddaughter. And Gimli got the hairs that would form the centrepiece of an heirloom of my house and a pledge of goodwill between the mountain and the wood until the end of days. Given their history, that pledge of goodwill between dwarves and elves was momentous and symbolic. From the elves' perspective, their grudge against the dwarves largely stemmed from an incident back in the First Age when a group of dwarves turned on and killed King Thingol of Doriath for ownership of a Silmaril. I'm sure you don't need me to spell it out for you, but Galadriel's gift to Gimli, creating three light-filled gems that embodied a pledge of friendship once more between dwarf and elf, had meaning. Galadriel's gift to Gimli marks a symbolic or part conclusion to so many thematic arcs for Tolkien. Galadriel and Feanor, the Silmarils, the enmity between dwarves and elves. I say part conclusion because the depth of Tolkien's writing was such that there are more obvious narrative conclusions for these things elsewhere in the story. The friendship between Gimli and Legolas, the light of Earendil's star captured in the file of Galadriel, and so on. This moment between Galadriel and Gimli was subtle and understated. Casual readers would not have been expected to pick up on all the symbolism going on, and that's okay. Indeed, when you think about it, Tolkien wasn't even writing this for the more dedicated reader. At the time it was published, we didn't have the Silmarillion or Unfinished Tales. We didn't know any of this background. Tolkien included Galadriel's gift to Gimli because it was the right thing to happen for those characters in that world with those overarching themes, even if no one else at the time or reading would have known or understood. That is the wonder of Tolkien's writing. We are discovering its depths more all the time. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.